Can you think of a time in your life when you had to really exude courage? Now, when we say courage, it can be defined as carrying out an act or carrying out a duty or a responsibility in the face of paralyzing fear. In fact, Dennis Rainey, he's an author, and he says this: you can't have courage without having fear. When I asked myself that question this week, I said, can I think of a time in my life when I really had to exude courage? My mind raced back to 29 years ago. As many of you know, I am a firefighter. I am a professional firefighter. I have been doing that for 29 years. And it almost didn't happen. It almost didn't happen because in one of our training modules that we had 29 years ago, they had taken a tractor trailer and they split the tractor trailer in half, top and bottom. They built a wooden floor. Then they went further and started compartmentalizing this into a maze. Inside this tractor trailer, just a big aluminum back tractor trailer, they cut it into a maze, and the maze was to be 2 foot wide by 3 foot high. And this would go all throughout this trailer. You would have no idea where it was going. You weren't given any maps. You weren't given any schematics ahead of time. And the whole thing would be done pitch black. You would not only have to crawl through this in the pitch black, but you had to have on your full firefighting gear. Now, I am not a svelte fella. And then you add a giant suit of turnout gear with a big bottle on my back that carries air, and I become rather large. And remember, this passageway that goes all throughout this 52-foot trailer is only 2 foot wide and 3 foot high. And you've got to crawl through there going you don't know where until they tell you, I guess, that you're done. Well, sounds okay unless you filter in one more piece to this equation. I'm a little bit claustrophobic. Tell you the truth, I don't know too many people who aren't a little bit claustrophobic when you're as big as I am. I've seen Winnie the Pooh. I know when Pooh got stuck in Rabbit's hole, and I knew how long it took for Pooh to get out of that hole, and now they're trying to send me into a hole, and I'm like, this just doesn't seem right. But I have to pass this. I've got to do this. So I geared up, got ready to go, and they're going to send us in twos. And they opened the door to the trailer, and I looked down the trailer, and it was full size, and it started to funnel right down to a small hole. And the fellow who I came on in training with was Joe Cocobaney, Coco. And Joe went in, and he crawled down. He stopped at the end of that hallway, I guess, and right where it started to get really tiny, he was going to go in, and I froze right at the door. Couldn't do it. I couldn't take that step in. And the firemen are pushing. Go on, get in there, get in there, get in there. I couldn't do it. And fear had me. It had me. I wasn't going. And that's where my size helped me, because you couldn't push me in there. But then Coco from the other end, come on, buddy. We can do this. He knew. Come on. We'll get through this. Just stay right on my tail. We'll get through this. And I went. Boom, the door shut. And Coke talked to me. And we went through that trailer. Don't know how long it took. I think it was 3 weeks. But we got to the other end. We found the door. And the men were holding the door shut to be funny. That didn't work either. I went right through that door. And we were out of there. Woo! Passed, became a firefighter. Conquering that fear. Courage is carrying out an act, a duty or responsibility in the face of paralyzing fear. We're here tonight to remember and honor the events of Passion Week. And as for tonight, we will look at the night Jesus was arrested. If you want to open your Bibles to Matthew 26 or pull it up on your phones, Matthew 26, we're going to read a lot of that. And the theme God has impressed upon my heart this Passion Week is the theme of courage. So let's read Matthew 26, 17 and following. This is a long passage. Follow along as best you can. It says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, where do you want us to make preparations to eat the Passover? And Jesus replied, he said, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near and I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. They were very sad. They began to say one after another, surely you don't mean me, Lord. And Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. Jesus answered, you have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he had given thanks for it. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Peter declared, even if I die with you, I will never disown you. And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him was a large crowd armed with clubs and swords sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. Jesus replied, do what you have come for, friend. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, and he drew it out, and he struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled and that say that it must happen this way? In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day, I sat in the temple teaching. You did not arrest me. But this had to all take place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Gang, this past week, one word has popped up over and over to me. The word showed up several times when I was in Washington, D.C. this week. This word showed up at the Ignite Men's Conference that I went to in Lynchburg last weekend with the men. It showed up at Arlington National Cemetery. It showed up at several of the monuments that my family visited. It showed up at men's group Wednesday night. And it showed up in the passage we just read of Jesus' final night before his trial and subsequent death on the cross. And that word is courage. Jesus showed incredible courage in that Passion Week. He showed incredible courage the night he was arrested. I'd like to just identify three of those courageous moments that Jesus lived through. The first courageous moment was Jesus having that uncomfortable conversation. He had this uncomfortable conversation about his betrayal, didn't he? And he had that conversation right in the face of his betrayer, right in the face of Judas Iscariot. There was no shying away of Jesus speaking this right to Judas. Jesus said to his friends, "One of you will betray me tonight." And they all asked who it would be, who would do such a thing. John, the book of John, records it like this. Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him, it says. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." Now, I don't know about you, but I hate having uncomfortable conversations with people. I cannot stand having uncomfortable conversations with people. I believe I fear the rejection and the turmoil that that uncomfortable conversation may cause, and I don't want to do that. But courage asks us to do what we fear, and it requires us to act. Like crawling into that dark, confined hole 29 years ago, it's uncomfortable, to say the least. But Jesus didn't back down from having the uncomfortable conversation. And if you and I are to strive to acquire the mind of Christ and to live like Jesus did, then we must have the courage to have our difficult conversations as well. Maybe it's a good friend that needs to hear from you that they're doing something they should not be doing. But you're afraid, because after all, you're not perfect, right? Maybe it's that person you love who has compromised their beliefs and their integrity. And you know they will not take it well when you point that out to them. Maybe it's someone you look up to, and you have to go to them and confess that you made a mistake or that you did something that you know will disappoint them. In men's group this week, we learned this statement: all it takes for evil to triumph is for men of God to do nothing. We'll add women to that as well. All it takes for evil to triumph is for men and women of God to do nothing. Maybe this night, God is prompting you to take courage and have that uncomfortable conversation that's been needed to be had for quite some time. Jesus took it on, straight on. There's a second area that Jesus shows courage. And it is in suffering or enduring the pain for God. When God asked Jesus to come to this earth, and what he asked him to do, to give his life, it was a tremendous cost. Jesus was brutalized, he was abused, and the pain that he suffered was something that God did not save him from. God did not save him from that. In all honesty, when you think about it, that pain was written into the plan by God. We don't like pain. Who does? Who likes pain? And we especially don't like pain that really comes to us ascribed simply to our faith. Pain that we have to suffer because of our faith. You know, my son, he tells me about everything that's going on with his ROTC training, and he tells me of the pain that the Army cadets have to suffer to get a passing score, or better yet, a perfect score in their Ranger training, and how they have to endure incredible pain to get good grades. But that pain has a reward immediately attached to it. You're given your number, and hey, there you go. You're put high up on the list. But the pain that our faith puts us through is a pain that we don't always have a quick, easy answer to, or have immediate payoffs staring us right in the face. Our faith doesn't always give us that. Courage with God may very well mean suffering pain in giving up a relationship that isn't pleasing to God. Courage with God may very well mean suffering pain in sacrificing your rights or your freedom because God is calling us to a standard that disagrees with something in your workplace, that disagrees with something in your school, that disagrees with something in our society. And it will be painful to go against that. Suffering pain in losing a loved one. Suffering pain in enduring loss, loneliness, or even taking a beating for our beliefs. You know, it's interesting, this place I absolutely love being able to rent this public school. I find it fascinating. And I'm a little bit awestruck that we can still rent a school to have church services that talk about Jesus Christ and bring the Bible here and open the Bible. But I'll tell you what, if ever came about the time where they tell us that we can't continue to rent if we continue to preach and teach all that the Bible says, if that day ever comes, well, get ready, gang. Because we won't be here. We'll be out in a field somewhere in the middle of winter with snow piling up on our heads, with you in your folding chair, watching each other's teeth chatter. We will endure that pain because we will never compromise. We will never shy away from all that the Bible teaches because we know that truth is where life is found. Jesus shows courage in suffering pain for God. And we're called to follow his example. Fear gets trumped by courage, and Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit to give us the ability to live courageously like he did. One final area where Jesus shows courage. In following God wherever God wanted him to go. It's interesting if you look at the life of Jesus. In Jesus' life, God sent Jesus to be born in Bethlehem in poverty. Jesus in poverty. God sent Jesus into the desert to not eat for 40 days, to not eat, and to be tempted by the devil himself. Not one of his henchmen, the devil himself. In Jesus' life, God sent him to a fishing village and said, pick your dream team among these uneducated fishermen. God sent Jesus to a society that was hostile to his message, didn't he? a society that promoted unwholesome living in Rome. God sent Jesus to a garden, as we just read, to be arrested. And he eventually sent him to a place called the Skull to be crucified. Now, fear would paralyze any one of us from walking the path that God laid out for Jesus. But courage says, I will follow. I will be obedient, and I will go where you want me to go, God. Billy Graham says, one man's courage will stiffen the backs of other men. And that is what Jesus is counting on in you and me. His courage stiffening our backs. This weekend reminds me that there is one place that God asks each and every one of us to go. It's a place that is common for every single one of us. We all visit there, and we all visit there alone. We have our own time at this one place. It's this common ground that God calls us to. God asks you and me to squash our fear and to come and stand before the cross of Jesus Christ, that hallowed ground where you look at him. He didn't come because you were perfect. He didn't die on a cross because of your perfection. He did it because we make mistakes. It was all about paying for our sins. If you don't feel perfect, you're a great candidate because you're like the rest of us. Each of us is asked to stand before Jesus with courage. And he asks us to admit our sin, admit our faults, admit our shortcomings. Each of us must be courageous in affirming our allegiance to Jesus, in saying, yes, I accept your gift, and then shouting that to the world, shouting that we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. He is our King. He is the one who is going to be the navigator of our life, and he will rule how we move forward. Remember, all it takes for Satan to triumph is for men and women of God to do nothing, to not go to that cross, or to go there and just stay silent. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come down. Take the bread and the cup that will be served. And maybe tonight is the night you need to beat your fear. Maybe tonight is the night you need to take courage and make a commitment to Jesus Christ that you never have before, or one that maybe you're not sure of. Make it tonight. To do that business with God at the cross. I guarantee you, it will be the best courageous decision you have ever made in this lifetime or the one to come. When I crawled into that dark trailer, that dark, tight, scary hole, when I crawled in there, I had no idea that when I came out the other end, it would be as a 29-year veteran fireman who made captain. That's what courage will get you. Or maybe you're here tonight, and as you take communion, Christ's courageous act is calling you to be strong through a painful time. I can think of no better way to go through a painful time than to connect with Jesus Christ. We do that through our hearts, giving our lives to him and coming and getting right before we take the cup and the bread. This is a remembrance that he prescribed to remember him, to remember his body that was broken and his blood that was shed to wipe away the sins. Or maybe you're here tonight and the communion table is calling you to get right with someone. To have that conversation this week that needs to be had. To have that conversation this week that isn't going to be easy, that you're going to have fear, but that God says it's time to have that conversation. This table, this sacrament, this is designed to make us do some soul searching. We're told to take the moment before we come to the table and deal with God. Is there something you need to confess to him? Is there a forgiveness you need to ask for? He's more than willing to do it. Speak to him in your heart. As the band plays, I want you to take this time to pray. Talk to God in your heart. And then, as you feel ready, come down, take the bread, take the cup, take it back to your seats, and then we'll take that together. This past week, when I was down in Arlington, there are just so many gravestones, and every now and then you'll come across a gravestone where someone has something different carved in, or maybe something that was built into the top of the gravestone, some icon or picture that was a significant remembrance or culmination of what they felt their life was about. We saw a 5-star general with 5 stars carved in. Jesus never set up the cross as his remembrance. We wear the crosses as necklaces and we remember that. Jesus pointed to something else as the two visuals that we would have to remember his life. Jesus said, this table, these are the two visuals he chose to be the significant remembrances of what he did for us, what his life was about. He took that bread that night. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat and remember what our sin cost him to be removed. Let's take the bread together. And that second visual he chose was a cup. Now this cup, this is the ink for a new contract. It's a contract where you can become co-heirs with me, with God. All those mistakes, all those shortcomings, all the things that you did were wrong. That's what I came for. I came for your messed up life. Not your perfect life. I came for that messed up life. And this contract, here's the deal. I'll shed my blood. I'll pay the price for your sins. You merely have to believe who I am. Place your faith, your trust in me. Let me be your Savior. Let me be your ruler. That's the new contract. And this, my blood, is the ink it's written in. Do this, he says, in remembrance of me. And for 2,000 years we've been doing it. Let's take the blood together. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you were courageous. I thank you that you came and suffered what we can't really even imagine. But you did it so that we could have a way to be clean. So as clean, we can come before God and be accepted. And you paid the price. Thank you. I pray that each of us would recognize the power that is inside this new contract, power of a new life being born anew to you. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. We started this evening with a question. I asked, can you think of a time in your life when you had to really exude some courage? I hope none of us have to reach back 29 years to find a story of the courage that God asked us to exude. Let's go charge hell with a water pistol. Let's show God we are on his side. We are going to live for him, and we will live through the power of his Spirit. You pray with me. Lord, I pray that you take each of us and power us. Power us through the power of your mighty Spirit inside to move forward. Help us to conquer the things in our life that need to be conquered. Help us to realize we are never alone, that you are right there alongside of us, and you have given us a church family to help us go through this life. I pray, Lord, that this would be the little church that could, little church that learned to have difficult conversations and make things right and to come out on the other end victorious. That when we suffer pain, loss, discouragement, we would suffer it through the power of your Spirit, knowing that you have a reason and that you will bring us through on the other side, because you are the Father who wants what's best for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to go where you've called us to go, no matter what it is, no matter where it is. Help us to fight the fear with your courage and to do what you've called us to do. We know you are leading us to the promised land. The journey, that's going to have all kinds of ups and downs, but the destination is sure. Thank you for dying on the cross, and I pray that you'd help each of us to live for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Bring a friend.